The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Well, we have a very special night of baseball planned here on ESPN. The Yankees and Astros at 7 o'clock Eastern. It'll be a Star Wars-themed telecast in celebration of May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you. It'll feature our commentators dressed in full costume as Star Wars characters, including Carl Ravitch as Luke Skywalker, Tim Kirchen as Yoda, and Eduardo Perez as Ajawa. I hadn't pre-read that. Tim Kirchen as Yoda. This kind of made me laugh. Okay, as we continue, continuing live, as always, from the Seaport District in New York City, brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny. I am delighted that you are here, and we have a huge hour coming your way starting right now. It's time to get up with Mr. Rogers. We're not sure yet where he's getting traded. We have a pretty good sense of when. We have all of that and more coming your way in just a moment. Then, our latest draft grades put the D in Big D. Jerry Jones not going to like that. You'll hear why as we roll on. Plus, the East could be a beast in 5 years. Which of these young guns will be the best? That's the question. We've got the answer as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now. And all the questions come out of Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers' future is suddenly no longer such a beautiful mystery. It's certainly a mystery, but there's nothing beautiful about it after it's made clear last week he wants out. And earlier this morning, Rob Domofsky told us on this show he thinks it's less than 5% chance that Rodgers comes back to Green Bay, which made this all the more interesting. Devontae Adams throwing some more fuel on the fire, cryptically tweeting yesterday, "Gotta appreciate what you got while you got it." So there's that to react to as well. And let's react to it with the entire crew again. David Pollack, Marcus Spears, Diana Russini, and Mike Tannenbaum gets up with us this morning as well. And Diana, let's just start quickly with the most basic of facts. Anyone who's sitting around waiting for some sort of alert that Aaron Rodgers has been traded needs to put that phone down for at least a little while. We can get into some timing that we think we know pretty well. What is that?
Yeah, so if this is going to go down, it's going to happen after June 1st. Essentially, what this does for Green Bay is if they trade him after that date, they'll save $16 million against their salary cap, right? And we know they're going to need as much money as they possibly can. We already know they're kind of in cap hell, and at least they have been over the last few months. So if anything's going to happen, we're going to start seeing this in June. So where do we stand now? A lot of just chatter around league circles. A lot of people just view this as a marriage that is not going to work out. The name I continue to hear in terms of the team that is getting everything in line, that is having conversations, that is at least trying to engage with Green Bay. We know Green Bay does not want to trade Aaron Rodgers, but Denver, the Denver Broncos are sitting there ready to pounce on them. That's the word I was looking for, Mike.
Okay, so Denver is a place to watch. Now, Mike T., as a GM, again, a former general manager in two different places, the reason we wanted to get you in this conversation here today is just take us through the machinations right now. Take us to what we should all assume is going on at every organization in the league, the phone calls that are going back and forth. If you're a team that's interested, how are you going about it? Take us through what you think should be going on right now all across the NFL.
Yeah, there's two sets of discussions internally. We could start with Denver. You're saying how much capital can we amass to give to Green Bay in terms of picks, players? Is it a good young player? Like, is it a Bradley Chubb type? Is it Von Miller? How many multiple first round picks for us to go get Aaron Rodgers? Then you're talking to Green Bay saying, hey, do we have permission to speak to Aaron Rodgers? That's going to be a key point to this. When we traded for Brett Favre a decade ago at the Jets, once we got permission to talk to Brett Favre, things changed. We started to recruit. We started to knock off all his concerns. So teams are going to want to get permission. That's going to be key. I agree with Diana. That could be before June 1st in terms of the discussions. The trade wouldn't happen until after June 1st. And then fundamentally, Greeny, it comes down to this. Does Green Bay believe that Aaron Rodgers has played his last football game if he has to remain a Packer? Carson Palmer did it. It's really rare. That's the inflection point for the Packers. Do they think he will not play football if he has to go back there? Once they reconcile that, from there, we'll know what happens. So those are the two separate sets of discussions that are happening.
And then quickly, let me ask you this as well, because when Seattle was entertaining the idea of trading away Russell Wilson, one of the things they needed was an answer at quarterback in return, and no one could offer them that. Chicago couldn't offer them that, and that might be the reason Russell is still in Seattle. Green Bay doesn't need that, in theory, right? Green Bay has addressed that. The whole reason this is happening is because they drafted a quarterback in the first round last year. So if you're Green Bay and you do resign yourself to trading him, Mike, what do you need to get back?
Well, I'm trying to try to get somebody like Nick Foles and pair him with somebody like Jordan Love and let the best player play. And I don't necessarily need that from Denver. So let's say it's Bradley Chubb and three first-round picks. I now have capital and flexibility, as Diana alluded to, from a cap standpoint. So I could go get Nick Foles, or maybe it's a Josh McCown type. So I don't necessarily need that from the team where Aaron Rodgers is going. But make no mistake about it, this is a good football team. It would be reckless of them just to say, hey, we're going to go with Jordan Love and never look back. So I would get that veteran quarterback and pair him with Jordan Love.
Go ahead, Diana.
Yeah, Mike, what makes you think that the Packers love Jordan Love? They drafted him. We don't know how they feel about him. We don't know if they think he's actually the future. I think we need to keep that in mind. As we know from Rob Domofsky reporting, he had no plans of even playing in 2021, which tells you where he is in his growth. It sounds like the Packers wouldn't be very comfortable and ready to roll out Love just yet. So they need a backup plan. So it may look like they have one, but in reality, they really don't.
Well, that's a whole other fascinating thing. If the guy that they drafted that basically makes Rodgers leave isn't going to be their quarterback of the future, then that's one of the great disasters of all time. David Pollack, you gave us a tease an hour ago, and I never got back to it. You said you had a team in mind that you thought would make a lot of sense. I'm dying to hear it.
First of all, amen, Greeny. Like, if you're the reason you're sitting here, because the reason you're sitting here, you drafted Jordan Love, and you don't love Jordan Love, and he's not the guy of your future? Like, wow, that Green Bay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your leadership there if that's the case. Listen, how does this not make perfect sense? And if everything, and it's a big if, but Deshaun Watson with the Texans, he's very unhappy. He wants out. He's a great quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He wants out. How could we make this work? I think they could make this work and both get accepted and get what they want and be really happy. But obviously there's the off the field stuff, but man, the Texans in Green Bay would make a ton of sense to me if I'm the Texans and if I'm Green Bay.
Could be, to your point. There's so much stuff to be worked through with Deshaun before anything like that could even be discussed. And they did draft a quarterback over the weekend in Davis Mills, whether that's relevant in this or not. All right, Marcus, I'm giving you the floor.
And the Packers
drafted
Jordan Love.
You've heard all the things that have been said here. There's a lot to this. What are you thinking right now, Swagoo?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, G, I'm thinking this thing on. Listen, Denver is a perfect place. And instead of talking about Nick Foles, didn't they just get Teddy Bridgewater? If you're looking for a bridge quarterback, no pun intended, and you don't feel like Jordan Love is the guy, Teddy has played well. Teddy has been a solid starter in the NFL until you figure out what your future is going to look like, even as Jordan Love, if we're talking about Denver being one of those teams. And a young quarterback in Drew Lock. I'll put both of them in there. Another team that I thought about was the New Orleans Saints. I would put Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston on notice and tell them, look, man, if we need to send you guys to Green Bay to get Aaron Rodgers, that's what we are going to do. I'm thinking about rosters that are close to being Super Bowl contenders or Aaron Rodgers away from being in the Super Bowl. Those are two places that I would think of. But if you think about the move that Denver just made to get Teddy Bridgewater, I would absolutely have him in that package if Denver is going to be aggressive about trying to go get Aaron Rodgers.
Go ahead, Diana.
Yeah, Marcus, I love the Saints theory. That was actually my favorite team when I first started hearing about this Rodgers thing. I called around, that's not happening. They're not going to trade him to an NFC team, because my thought was, hey, Seattle, switch it up. Send Russ there, send Rodgers to Seattle. Everyone's happy. Russ was a little miserable, right? And look, Russell's got some protection in Green Bay. Aaron's got all the weapons in the world in Seattle. It could be perfect, right? So we could sit here all day long and come up with all the different theories, but the reality is the team that's standing out in terms of having the ability to get this done at this point in early May continues to be the Denver Broncos. So we'll say June 1.
Go ahead, Mike Tannenbaum.
And to
one other thing that bears noting here is Aaron Rodgers has a no-trade clause because 100% of the trades that are made in the NFL has a condition. Player has to report and pass a physical. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't report, so let's say Green Bay works out a trade with the Saints or the Broncos, and for whatever reason he doesn't want to go there, the trade doesn't happen. So a very meaningful part of this dynamic is where does Aaron Rodgers want to go? And that's where, in a weird way, the Packers and the Rodgers are actually partners in trying to get the best deal done for both each respective party.
It's an important point. Go ahead, Marcus.
Gee, I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem.
I forgot.
Then I will say this to you. I will say this to you and Pollock, and you guys tell me if you agree with us or not. Every team in the NFL, with maybe three or four exceptions, is a contender with Aaron Rodgers. You put Aaron Rodgers on practically any team in the National Football League, and that team has a chance to win a championship. That's how good he is. All this talk about how good the Green Bay Packers are, because they've won 26 regular season games the last 2 years. Let's see how many games they would have won with an average quarterback. Aaron Rodgers elevates everyone and everything. I would argue right now, Marcus Spears, that you put Aaron Rodgers on practically any team in the NFL, and they're a contender immediately.
No doubt, G, but you got to look at the other side of the ball. Aaron Rodgers should be looking at defenses more than offenses. He knows he can raise the level of whatever offensive unit he becomes a part of. He needs to look at the other side of the football, because you know who did? That damn Tom Brady. That's why he's so damn smart for picking Tampa, because he acknowledged the fact that I got a defense similar to a lot of the defenses that I had in New England that can help me win a Super Bowl. I'm going to get all of the credit for it, and rightfully so. I deserve a lot of it. I'm talking about Tom Brady. But he looked at the opposite side of the football, and being a defensive guy sitting up here on this panel, Aaron Rodgers, and the reason why Denver is one of those teams is because you look at that defensive side of the football and what Fangio is doing, and you say to yourself, even if Aaron Rodgers is not MVP level, even if he's just a normal Aaron Rodgers, that defense is good enough to carry us for three or four games, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers. That's what he needs to be focused on. Offensively, he knows he can raise the level of every team.
All right, I have to leave it there a minute. I have to take a break. It's the last thing in the world I want to do, but it is my job. I will take a short time out. We'll come back with a lot more on this. We are jam-packed, as you can see on this day. Coming up, did you hear what the Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw had to say about Rodgers? Is Rodgers too sensitive? That's the question. We will answer it. Plus, Jerry Jones got defensive in this draft in a big way. So why is he getting a D from one of our analysts? You'll find out as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We're back, and as we continue to look back on the first round, or the entirety, if we will, of the NFL draft, the NFC East was busy, particularly that first night. The Eagles traded up with the Cowboys, of all teams, to move up to number 10 to take the Heisman winner, Devontae Smith, and then the Cowboys got the upgrade to their defense they needed with the linebacker Micah Parsons, who many believe was the best defensive player in the whole draft. Washington also went defense with the less known but outstanding Jamin Davis out of Kentucky. He went at number 19. And then the Giants trading down for the first time ever was their general manager David Gettleman, moving back from 11 to 20 and taking wide receiver Kadarius Toney, who is a playmaker with the ball in his hands. So an interesting night for all four of those teams. The Cowboys in their totality went incredibly heavy with defense in this draft. Eight defensive players, their most in a single draft since 1992. They were the last team to select an offensive player in last week's draft. They didn't do so until the fourth round. And so, Matt Miller, our draft insider, as we bring you back into the conversation here, you were not happy with the Cowboys draft. What grade did you give them and why?
I gave them a D and not for Dallas. I loved the first pick. Let's start. I mean, everybody looks at draft grades and they scroll and they say who they pick in the first round. I love Micah Parsons. This is no disrespect to him. I think he was the second best defender in the draft behind Patrick Surtain. But Kelvin Joseph is a good player. I think what hurts Dallas is great for me also is, like, they got jumped twice, guys. I know David mentioned it earlier in the show. Carolina took a corner, Denver took a corner because everyone knew Dallas was going to. It happened again in round two when everyone knew they were going to draft Trevon Merrick, the safety out of TCU. Guess what happened? They got jumped again. So sometimes your draft grade is when everyone knows what you're going to do and you get jumped. And then in round three, I thought they panicked with the three defensive players they drafted in round three who were all day three or later players on my big board.
So, Marcus, knowing that you disagree overall, they got a D, because I can't see you ever grading the Dallas Cowboys that low in any circumstance, I will change the question to you and say, having seen what all those NFC East teams did, and it was a busy and active night for them all, there was that run of three straight NFC East picks in the first round and everything, who do you think emerged the best from it? Which team do you think came out of this the best in that division?
Well, gee, I'm not gonna let you lie on me. I would have gave them a damn F for hiring Mike Nolan as the defensive coordinator. I could have told you that. So I ain't giving them A's and B's and for everything. But listen, I believe firmly that Dallas came out of this with the best draft and the best possible situation when you think of everything that has transpired even prior to the draft. And I take people back. Listen, Dallas was decimated everywhere last year offensively. Like, they lost all of their guys. Ben DiNucci started at quarterback for the Cowboys. There were four offensive linemen without a rep that had to start and try to block the Washington football team in the second game of that season where they got blasted. So that's not excuses. If any team loses their offensive line, any team has the catastrophic things happen to them from an offensive standpoint, they're going to struggle, obviously. And then you look at the defensive side of the football. And I'm interested to hear DP talk about this. Going back to a 4-3, DeMarcus Lawrence didn't all of a sudden forget how to play football. A lot of these guys were so badly out of position, so badly with not understanding what the scheme, gap, and physicality of the defense that they were playing. At times, I looked at Dallas on film last year, getting ready to talk about them the next day. These dudes had no clue about fits and how to properly even play the defense, let alone not being physical enough to stand up to it. I believe they're going to be marketably better from a scheme change. Dak is back. Hopefully this whole offensive line stays healthy, and that's why I have them number one in the NFC East.
So, David, let me put it to you that way. They have the new defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn. They have all the players they just brought in, some of them Matt likes and some of them not so much. Do you believe the Cowboys did enough to make themselves into the contender that all of their fans seem to think they are?
Contender, yes. I'm not ready to put them as winning the division, but I definitely think, listen, you just brought it. I think a lot of people did not have Micah Parsons one on their board. It was two or three in the top defensive players. He's the best defensive, the most impactful defensive player in the draft, period. So you throw him into the mix, I think right away, you're talking about a guy that can rush the passer, that can cover in space like nobody's business, running a 4-3. He's a ridiculous plug-and-play player. There is no need for development. Right away, your defense got so much better, just right off the jump. So Jabril Cox, again, is a really good player. But Dan Quinn will change the philosophy. Dan Quinn will be more of a bend but don't break. And this defense will take enormous strides in the opposite direction. But I also think you got to take into account, Dak's still coming off of a major injury. This is going to take time, I think, offensively to get them back to being a juggernaut once he gets his feet wet and getting rhythm.
But look, we all know the Cowboy fans, they draft eight defensive players and have a new coordinator. Super Bowl or bust in Big D. That's all we're going to hear on Twitter between now and the Super Bowl. All right, hold on, guys. I'm coming back to you in a little bit.
But
let me get
to
the action on the courts last night. We had some good stuff last night. Let me get you to the superhero of the night. He wears the S. His name is Steph Curry, and he was spectacular. The Marvel Arena of Heroes taking place in New Orleans. Iron Man watching from the Jumbotron as Steph Curry put on the superhero performance of the night. Warriors up 17 already in the first quarter, and look at Steph working on Zion. It's just not a good matchup for anybody. 17 in the first for Steph Curry. Earlier the third now, Warriors are up by 10. Oh, Eric Bledsoe is down, and Steph Curry is up. He was unstoppable. He's had a bunch of these nights this year where he just cannot be stopped. This was another later in the third. Step back, contested three. That's only a good shot for him. He scored 15 in the third. Fourth quarter now, Warriors are up by 15. It's Curry again. He loses Zion again. Steph Curry scored 41, knocked down eight threes, added eight assists, and the Warriors win it 123-108. And after that barrage last night, Steph has 299 threes on the season, tied for the fifth most in a single season ever. There have been four instances of a player with over 300 threes in a season. Steph has accounted for three of those four, and with his next, he will do it again. Speaking of great performances, did you see Russell Westbrook last night? Have you been paying attention to what this guy is doing? Wizards, Pacers, Westbrook, spectacular. First quarter, Wizards up by four. Westbrook, oh, it's a rope to Bradley Beal, who is up six. Just over three and a half to go now. Westbrook, watch this pass. Rebound, send it up the floor to Beal again. Westbrook had 14 assists and 12 rebounds at halftime. Early third, Wizards up 85-69. This time Westbrook going to keep it himself. Look at the power. That's his 32nd triple-double on the season. And then with this dish to Beal here, which is an assist, Russell Westbrook clinches a triple-double for the season. It'll be the fourth time he reaches that mark. And then here's another. Russell Westbrook would finish this night with 14 points, 24 assists, 21 rebounds. Big win, Washington. Oscar Robertson is the only other player in NBA history to average a triple-double for a season even once. This was also Westbrook's second career game with 20 boards and 20 assists. That has been done three times in league history. Two of those now have come from Russell Westbrook. All right, as we continue, the East could be a beast in 5 years. Which of these young guns will be the best? That's the question. We'll have the answer as we get up with you on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and here's the deal. The AFC East is loaded with young quarterback talent, most notably at this point, of course, Buffalo's Josh Allen, who threw for over 4,500 yards last year, had the third best QBR in the league. Then, of course, there is Tua, who had an up and down first season, but is now reunited with Alabama teammate Jalen Waddle and has a fully healthy offseason. We'll see how he develops. The New York Jets are hoping they have found their quarterback of the future when they took BYU's Zach Wilson second overall. He was the first quarterback the Jets have taken in the top two picks since Joe Namath in 1965. And then the Patriots take Mac Jones at number 15 in the draft. And he had, by a lot of standards of measure, the best season in college football history last year. And so it does sort of bring up a pretty interesting question. These guys are all young. The oldest of them that I just named is 24 years old. So the question is, 5 years from now, we all accept it right this minute, Josh Allen is the best of that group. But 5 years from now, David Pollack, which team will have the best quarterback in the AFC East?
Josh Allen. I love this division. I love all the guys, and we could go through them. But the biggest difference for me is Josh Allen's 6'5", 240 pounds. I mean, he is a big, strong, durable athlete. You've seen him run the football. But I think the biggest thing is I worry about Tua and Zach Wilson. I know they can spin it. I know they're great players. But you worry about their durability. They've shown that throughout their career. I don't worry about that with Josh Allen at all. I think he's a superstar. Obviously, you've seen that last year. He was in the MVP race late in the season. But to me, this difference between them, when I look at all of them, is just the durability and size that Josh Allen has. I trust in his health.
What do you think, Marcus?
I'm the same, and I hate that we got to be bored because I would have loved to pick one of these other guys. But as much as people talk about Josh Allen as athleticism, he's a hell of a thrower of the football, man. Like the velocity, the ball placement, His ability to improv obviously comes with athleticism, but I'm just talking purely from a quarterback standpoint. The leaps and bounds he made with Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator throwing the football, because we were never down on Josh Allen about his athleticism. We were down on him about his decision-making and being able to put the football where it needed to be. He showed that this year. And if that continues, which I believe it will, because you learn and you figure out, I can play in this league at a very high level, he'll carry the torch for the quarterbacks in the AFC East for the
next
five.
It's amazing when you think about it. If you add up the ages of Mac Jones and Zach Wilson, they're younger than Tom Brady, who owned this division for basically the last two decades. And no one knows that better than Tannenbaum, who was the GM at two different stops in the AFC East. What do you think? 5 years from now, whose future are you betting on?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that, Greeny. Ironically, I'm going to take what David Pollack said and switch it just a little bit. We have to get used to saying, can they withstand the rigors of a 17-game regular season? The one element of Josh Allen's game that gives me concern would be he doesn't make people miss. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. But I think he's going to have a lot of high contact collisions. And because of it, I'm going to go with Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson has a little bit more short area quickness, some more elusiveness. I think he has a great ceiling as well. Look, I would take Josh Allen today. He had an unbelievable year. But over the next 5 years, I would be concerned that Josh Allen may wear down over a 17-game regular season.
Oh, I like the song you're singing, Mike T. I don't know the words, but I like it a lot. Pollack, go.
You see?
Well, the other side of that coin is, Mike, what does your boy struggle with? In college, Zach Wilson struggled with staying healthy. He's also slightly built. So I agree. Twitchy, fun to watch, can create. But his struggle has been durability. And Tua Tagovailoa, durability. Just littler guys taking punishment. So they're going to play that extra game, too, that Tim or Mike T. They're going to play those games and see how they hold up.
Swagoo, go.
See, I thought that's why, because I know Mike T, and I thought it was important to reiterate Josh Allen operated at a very high level from the pocket. That's why I put so much emphasis on that when I talked about these quarterbacks, because, yeah, that is a concern for a lot of these guys, especially a guy like Josh Allen. You saw him turn to his legs in Indianapolis in the playoff game, and that offense start to generate with his athleticism. But I always say this, G, and you and I have had this talk, if players can throw and operate from the pocket, the athleticism is the advantage that takes you over the top. If it's athleticism first and you never develop that part of your game, we will see you injured and a shortened career. But I believe Josh Allen developed enough from the pocket for me to feel comfortable to say that he'll continue to do so and operate from the pocket in a high level as well.
Marcus, my question is, are you taking Tua or Zach Wilson?
I'm taking Tua, man. I'm taking Tua. I'm not out on Tua yet. I believe all of the things we said about Zach Wilson, we reiterated and said a million times about Tua as well, especially from throwing the football and how impressive he is.
I think everyone wants in on this conversation. Go ahead, Mike T. Real quick, final word. Go.
Yeah. I agree with David Pollack said about Zach Wilson today, but I'm betting on his character. I think he's going to get bigger and stronger, and I just think he'll have the most durability of the quarterbacks we discussed.
We shall see. Everybody wants in on this conversation, and I'm inviting you in on the conversation because I put the poll question up on Twitter. There's those four guys. They're all super young, and the question is, which of them will be the best quarterback in the AFC East? You can go to my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny, cast your vote, and we will check in on that later in this show, and I'll keep it up through the radio show as well. Meanwhile, to the NBA last night, and it's a big game. Lakers Nuggets, one LA needs, and they're playing with Anthony Davis against Nikola Jokic, no LeBron. Jokic, his team is down early, down by 14 in the fourth quarter, but he's not giving up. Knocks that one down. Then under 4 minutes to go, it's an 8-point game, and he's working hard inside. Look at the footwork and the left hand. He would score 32. It's a 6-point game. 2 minutes to go. Nuggets down by four. It's Facundo Campazzo kicking it out to Michael Porter Jr. He makes the three, but hold on, they call an offensive foul. He can't believe it. A little laugh after the play. Less than a minute remaining. Lakers up by two. That's Anthony Davis in the lane. Yes, he's pumped. He'd scored 25. Lakers up four. Less than 30 seconds to go. 2-point game. Talen Horton Tucker. Tough shot. No, but he gets it back. Another tough shot. This time, yes. Lakers up by four. 15 seconds left. Nuggets down by four, looking for three. It's Campazzo, but look at the closeout. Anthony Davis. Oh, the defense from AD. That's a big stop that they get that they need, and they win 93-89. That is a big game for the Lakers, who are trying to keep themselves out of that play-in tournament. The remaining schedule, though, is tough. They have a huge one coming up Friday when they travel to Portland to face the Trail Blazers. They're currently one game ahead of Portland for that seven spot to keep out of the play-in tournament. Speaking of which, let's go back to Sunday when LeBron James said this.
If this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the, you know, the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
And our friend Frank Isola tweeted the following in reaction. He tweeted, great thing about player empowerment is you're never held accountable, like agreeing to a play-in tournament, then calling for someone to be fired because of it. Similar to Kawhi making the Clippers move heaven and earth to get PG-13. And when it fails, Doc got fired. That's power. It's an interesting way to look at it. And there's no one more interesting to talk to than my buddy Jay Will across the hall from KJZ on ESPN Radio. Let's just start with that. I mean, LeBron saying what he said there about, you know, fire the guy who came up with the play-in tournament seems to bother him only when he realized his team might wind up in it. What is your reaction?
He's 36! He's chasing a championship. And look, what happened last year when LeBron was fully healthy with a fully healthy team is a different situation for this year. Sure, people are going to be pissed off about it. People are going to be angry about it, saying, of course, LeBron, you're just flocking with the win. But look, this dude's trying to win championships, Greeny. What do we do every single day on this show? We compare him. Who's the greatest of all time? Yours is Michael Jordan. Mine is LeBron James. Mine is not a word. Mine is LeBron James. But if LeBron James is able to go through everything he's dealt with this year and then beat Brooklyn in a championship game with KD, Kyrie, James Harden, you can't tell me that LeBron James wouldn't be one of the best players of all time, if not the greatest.
No, that's not debatable. But let's go to the point of it here, which is this idea that, you know, the play-in tournament. I love the play-in tournament.
I love it, too.
It is serving its purpose. So yes. Why is LeBron saying that whoever thought of it should be fired?
Because he's 36! He's 30.
Are you saying that because he's so young or so old?
He's
53.
Old. Well, you're not playing basketball every single day.
I get
playing
it.
Back-to-back games.
Like right.
Every LeBron James should show you. And look, I know his name is not going to be an MVP conversation, Greeny, but how valuable is he to this team? Right, we saw them beat the Nuggets last night. Fine, without Dennis Schroeder, AD played well. But LeBron James needs to be at Hall of Fame level in order for this team to win a world championship. Look, I think they're going to be fine. LeBron James sometimes gets in his bag of emotions. I actually think the play-in tournament can help them if they get there, an extra game or two, get the pedals greased up before he goes in the playoffs. But he's 36 years old, so the less wear and tear I can have on my body, the better for me.
I get it. And so bottom line, let me just sort of finish it with this quick thought. If they are healthy, if LeBron and AD are fine, and Schroeder should come back, whatever the protocol situation is, if they are basically whole and healthy going into the playoffs, do they remain, in your opinion, the clear-cut favorite in the Western Conference?
In the Western Conference, yes. Yes, they are, the clear-cut favorite. And if you're Utah or if you're Phoenix, you're telling me you want to see the Los Angeles Lakers at the 7 or the 8 seed spot? You're kidding me. Get out of here. They're still not my favorite to win the whole thing. Mm. Even though these guys have only played 7 games together, KD, James Harden, and Kyrie, those will still be my favorites to win the whole thing.
All right, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and there's nothing more fun.
Get ready.
How old is LeBron?
He's 36!
36. Dan, how old are you?
No. Old enough.
Younger than me, that's for darn sure. He is the Jay of KJZ, coast to coast every morning on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
You got it, brother.
All right, as we roll on, coming up, Marcus Spears will tell you why Aaron Rodgers' coach in Green Bay needs to camp out day and night at his quarterback's house. It's Swag Who Says, and it's next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What does Swaggoo say?
G, you know what I say?
I say Daniel Jones is a gangster.
He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
This is where you will hear people say things, and then you will hear Marcus Spears tell you what it is they really mean. Here we go, Swaggoo. We begin with Matt LaFleur, the coach of the Packers, who had this to say about the idea of Aaron Rodgers potentially leaving Green Bay.
I can't even take my brain to that spot right now. So I just want to do everything in my power to ensure that doesn't happen. I can't fathom not being in Green Bay. And I love working with him on a daily basis. I think we all do, from the players in that locker room to the coaching staff. And I don't even want to let my mind go there.
So that's what the coach said. What does Swaggoo say?
It's as simple as this, G. I cannot fathom having to reintroduce myself as a head coach in the NFL. It's ironic that all of these guys that become these such great coaches, they have a damn Hall of Famer at quarterback. Matt LaFleur needs to be irate about not the possibility of Aaron Rodgers not coming. But he can't fathom it because he's going to actually have to coach some quarterback. And we're going to figure out if he can really coach or not. Aaron Rodgers makes you look damn good. So Matt LaFleur cannot fathom having to actually coach the Green Bay Packers beyond what Aaron Rodgers can do.
Absolutely. All right. Our next stop is another coach with another quarterback situation. This one is Matt Nagy in Chicago, who had this to say about when Justin Fields will start this season. Here's what he said.
It's our job to develop him. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that we've taken into this thing is there will be a plan with Justin and with Andy and with Nick and just how we go about this. When the time is right, I promise you, every single person will know, including Justin, when it's the right time. And that's naturally how it happens.
That's what the coach said. What does Swaggoo say?
Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, Rex Grossman, Jim McMahon, all the damn quarterbacks that's ever suited up, Mitchell Trubisky, they know damn well Justin Fields going to start week one. That's what Matt Nagy is saying. I'm just telling everybody this because I got to fill time and say a bunch of words. When I drafted him 11th, especially the trade up to get him, he was going to be our week one starter. That's basically all Matt Nagy had to say. He ain't have to go through all that other stuff.
You're exactly right. You left out Sid Luckman, if you want to go all the way back. And Bears. Bob Avellini will go back to old Chicago. Okay, next up, because everyone knows Swaggoo loves the hoops. This one is LeBron James, who had this to say about the Lakers potentially ending up in the play-in tournament. Listen.
If this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
Ooh, so that's what LeBron said. What does Swaggoo say?
Bron, this ain't uninterrupted. This ain't all of your great business ventures that you started. You can't fire no damn body. And don't be mad about the play-in game. Y'all wanted to sit out, not you specifically, because you play a lot, but a lot of stars wanted to sit out. So the NBA had to figure out a way how to incentivize these players during the regular season to get into the playoffs. So no, LeBron, nobody should be fired because all of your money that you're making from the NBA is because all these games are being put on.
That's exactly right, and it makes the other ones matter. I could not possibly agree with Swaggoo more. Meanwhile, this is something we've never done before. We're doing one that we're going to call Swaggoo Sees, okay? Marcus, I want you to check out this interaction in Philadelphia between the general manager, Howie Roseman, and senior football advisor, Tom Donahoe, after Philly used its third-round pick on Louisiana Tech defensive lineman Milton Williams. Tell me what Swaggoo Sees.
What I see, G, is when I tell my wife I want a burger and she bring me some of that damn impossible meat or something. And I got to act like I'm okay with it because she my wife. So that's all he was doing. Howie is in the position of power as the general manager. So I got to dap you off. But I'm going to dap you off knowing damn well I wanted 100% beef. Kobe, matter of fact, and you brought Impossible. Now, I got to throw this in there. I do like Impossible burgers, but I could imagine my reaction if I didn't and she brought me an Impossible when I asked for real beef.
Yeah, that's very well done. I remember one time my son bit into a grape tomato thinking it was an actual grape, and the look on his face, he was like 3 years old. That's the way that guy looked standing there after that pick was made. Swagoo. Outstanding. Let's run the hurry up. We got news around the NFL. We got Diana Russini here with it. We got Julio Jones off the top. Diana, what do we know?
So much marriage counseling on this show. This is why everyone should be tuning in. It's sports, love, we do it all here. Here on the hurry up, let's start with Julio Jones, all right? So we heard those rumors right before the draft. Atlanta was possibly open to trading him. I'm told, yeah, they're open. They're just waiting to receive the right amount for Julio, right? So he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's 32 years old. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. Atlanta's just going to sit tight and wait for the right price to come across their table. And again, we love that June 1st date. Look for things to heat up probably around June 1 once again. So it's just some gossip and fodder until we can get there. Meantime, we've been talking Aaron Rodgers all day long on this show. And we know Devontae Adams put up a little bit of that cryptic tweet yesterday. And then it had me thinking, Greeny, well, what's up with his contract? Well, he's up for an extension. And I was told the Packers, they want to get it done. But nothing's been done yet. So you gotta wonder, maybe Devontae Adams is sitting back trying to say, not sure what I want to do here. And we know that the Green Bay Packers are going to want to lock him in because if he hits the open market, teams are going to kind of grab at him. Meantime, yesterday was the expiration for the fifth-year option to get picked up. We know Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, they were all picked up on their fifth-year option from the 2018 draft. Yesterday, three players declined, Rashad Evans, Terrell Edmonds, Rashad Penny, all declined their fifth-year options. You got to figure some of these organizations just don't want to pay that price and perhaps maybe move on.
All right, these are all such fascinating things to watch. The NFL offseason just never goes away. By the way, the Professional Fighters League regular season rolls on this Thursday night with the heavyweights and women's lightweights at 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Coverage of the undercard begins 5:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Coming up, did you hear what Terry Bradshaw said about Aaron Rodgers? If you didn't, you are not going to want to miss it. It is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Well, we have a special night of baseball planned for you here on ESPN. It's Yankees Astros at 7 Eastern, and it's a Star Wars-themed telecast. In celebration of May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you, all the commentators will be dressed up in full costume as Star Wars characters, including Ravi as Luke Skywalker, Tim Kirkchin as Yoda, and Eduardo Perez as a Jawa. You will not want to miss it. You also don't want to miss First Take. They're coming up next. How good is Russell Westbrook's resume, and is Chris Paul the MVP? Stephen A., Max, and Molly debating that and more. They're coming up a little more than 3 minutes from now here on ESPN. Meanwhile, quick check of the poll. I asked who will be the best AFC East quarterback in 5 years. I was afraid this one might be a little too obvious, and that is the direction it goes. Everybody riding Josh Allen. We'll talk about it further on the radio show coming up in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, in case you missed it, Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. Rodgers has played 16 seasons for the Packers, tied with Brett Favre and Bart Starr for the most in franchise history. Well, yesterday, Steelers legend Terry Bradshaw had this to say in an interview with WFAN's Moose and Nagy.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one.
Fascinating. Just how weak he is the choice of words. And then you throw in Warren Moon the other day saying that he thinks Aaron Rodgers is being sensitive. David Pollack, is Aaron Rodgers being sensitive and weak?
What quarterback isn't sensitive? What quarterback isn't soft nowadays? Like, dude, if you get near Tom Brady's legs, oh my God, you think he'd been shot? Like, he's gonna look at the ref right away. Like, that's a flag. He almost touched my leg. He almost touched my knee. I mean, that's what quarterbacks are. Like, that's what they all are. They're all whiny, and that's just the way it is. So I don't think that's a news flash. But I think the tone in which Terry Bradshaw used saying, you know, weak. It's the get off my lawn. As you get older, I guess we're going to turn into that too. You know, me and Marcus, as we get older to get up to Greeny's age and Terry Bradshaw's age, that's what's going to happen, I guess.
I could have lived without that. I watched Terry Bradshaw as a child. But that's, and by the way, I was the child, not he. But that's neither here nor there. Marcus.
David, how old do you think Greeny is? Yeah, Greeny, what is happening?
I look 42. I'm actually 71. All right, no, I've lost track of what I'm supposed to ask. Oh, Marcus, is Aaron Rodgers being too sensitive?
No, man, I think this is more than just the Jordan Love draft. This is overtime. I've listened to people. Now, I don't agree with Aaron Rodgers' stance on it, and I don't think you mentioned that I wasn't too thrilled with the draft pick or something in that regard, but no, it's not sensitive, it's communication. You understand now that these players are evolving, man. They know more about the business structure, they know more about the model, they wanna control their future. So it's not being sensitive, it's saying, listen, you had a plan, but I have a plan, and I wanna enact my plan before you do.
Diana, you said it. They're like a couple that wants to go into counseling.
That's what they are. And as the only 25-year-old on this show, I can tell you that this is a marriage that just is not going to work out. So that's my youth speaking, and let the old men complain about it, Greeny.
You are the best. We are done. See you tomorrow. First Take now.